Well, good morning, good morning. Great to have everybody on the call this morning. My name is Valerie Reed. I'm a regional director from New Jersey and the New York marketplace. We like to say those things together. And I know we have some Pennsylvania folks on the line, so we're tri-state over there. And today is Thursday, October 12th. So it's a beautiful, beautiful autumn day here in New Jersey. So happy autumn wherever you are, and I'm so looking forward to seeing everybody next week in Florida. So today I'd like to talk about one of my very favorite topics in business, and that is customers. And more specifically this morning, I'm going to talk about customer retention and referrals. You know, as we all know, customers are the lifeblood of any business, and no matter where you are in business. And as independent business owners, we actually have our own customer acquisition company. We all know that within ACN. So if you've got a chance, you're not driving, I'd grab a pen and paper or hit that record button to capture some of the lessons that I'm going to share with you this morning and see how they can be applied to your growing ACN business. First of all, you know, I've been fascinated with customer service for a very long time. Feels like I've been working for a long time. I was in it, gosh, I think I was a teenager. Were you too? We didn't even know it. Maybe you were babysitting, waiting tables, answering phones in restaurants. That was me. Flipping burgers or pizza. Lifeguarding, also me. Tutoring, cleaning, or mowing lawns. Didn't do the mowing lawn thing. Well, each of us brings our own background and experience to dealing with customers, don't we? And that's really what we're coming to in our lives and business today. You know, again, not so long ago, not in terms of being a teenager, a little bit later, I did my postgraduate work in England, you know, and I lived there for over a decade, so many, many years ago. And at that time, Americans abroad used to dream of the great American customer service we all left behind with all these grouchy people serving us. And but, you know, ever since I got back, I was pretty surprised to see the level of customer service here in the States. It seems to have gone on a very slow decline. And now traveling in Europe once again, I don't really see much difference at all. So hopefully we got better and they got better too. But it did get me thinking that there's a real opportunity for us as business owners with our own customers. You know, how can we make each and every customer feel special and cared for so that they really remain long-term customers and begin to refer other people to us in their network? So we have this great, great business advantage with ACN. First of all, we have great services, so many great services, services that people use and need every day. And secondly, you know, many of our customers are friends, their family, their existing contacts with whom we actually have a relationship already, such a fundamental piece in the customer relationship. We've got that already. So that's a clear head start right there. And then thirdly, it gets even better. Often our customers are in contracts for a period of time, so we have that longevity, but sometimes they're not. So either way, it makes sense to pay attention to how we retain these satisfied customers, because there's nothing worse than losing a customer, for sure. You know, many of us on the line this morning, you know, we're doing ACN along with another part-time gig or a full-time gig, and it may or may not include any customer interface at all. So in ACN, when we acquire customers and we set them up with our own great services, then what? What happens next? You know, how do we retain them, make them an active referral source for our business? Would they write a great Google review or testimonial if there was such an opportunity? Well, I am the owner of a technology company outside of ACN, and I happen to talk to both sides of the customer triangle. We call it B2B, which is business to business, and B2C, business to consumer. You know, and I get the pleasure of speaking to many customers, which, in my opinion, is really one of the best ways to have a finger on the pulse of your business, just to be in dialogue with your customers. You know, I've learned so, so much and translated that in so many different ways to improve my business. It just pays to listen, so you get to understand their questions. What do they love and are delighted with? And what are they frustrated with? How can you make them a champion for your cause and be a referral source? This is the eternal question here in business. So my business is actually in the funeral industry, where we have a platform to connect families wanting a very simple cremation with funeral homes across the country who'd like to serve them. And I had an interesting call this weekend. This was from a minister in Tennessee who used us for his own personal family member, and he also used a local Tennessee funeral home for his needs. And because of this experience, he's also referred to us many, many people in his local area. Now came the time that his mother had passed away, but she had passed away not locally, but she was in Kentucky. And he was interacting with another funeral home, and this funeral home had not been very active on our site for many, many years. So the initial contact with this funeral home didn't go as expected. So when he called our number, he wanted to know what he could do next, because he was such a steadfast fan of our company, he knew that we can help him out. We were able to overcome any obstacle that he had and work out a solution with both the funeral home and this particular gentleman. And he ended up even a bigger fan. Well, how did this happen? Well, number one, listening. You know, what did he need? What wasn't working? What were the obstacles? Really understanding where he was coming from. Secondly, keeping a level head at all times. Not getting caught up in the obstacles, whether it was his concerns or the funeral home's concerns. A lot of emotion around this particular topic, but quite honestly, I've seen a lot of emotion around cell phone bills and electric and gas bills as well. So we have to keep a level head at all times. Number three, be solution oriented by exceeding expectations, looking for ways not only to meet his expectations, but look for ways to exceed it and lead him and are really better off than he started. So I personally handled some of the call details for him, ran the interference with the funeral home, really made him feel cared for. And number four, own it. It's just owning the solution. You know, I was able to have a raving fan when I owned up to what we needed to provide to him that wasn't happening. And also, the funeral home was now re-engaged with the company and is going to be an active referral source for more customers. So going above and beyond is just good business. And remember that old adage, the customer is always right, for sure. So one of the key relationships, one of the key learnings for me here was just the criticality of that word relationships, just in capital letters. So how, what role does this play in customer retention and referral? Well, a friend of mine, she's also a customer, is an interior designer and a realtor. And she's got this great simple system of follow-up. She keeps a spreadsheet where she tracks her contacts with her customers. And she makes sure that she reaches and touches them once a quarter. Such a great idea. I'm sure you have your own systems in place, but I just love this one. This makes common sense. Every relationship needs care, feeding, and maintenance, whether it's your family, your friends, your business colleagues, and your customers. And one of the best examples of building great relationships with customers through just amazing and outstanding customer service that I know of comes from a gentleman that you may or may not have heard of, but I'm pretty sure you know the company he co-founded. His name is Horst Schultz. He was born in 1937. He's 84 years old now. And at the time, the culture and his family, too, promoted engineering and medicine as the two acceptable career paths. Well, young Horst wouldn't have any of it. He had a different dream. He wanted to work in a hotel. His parents were just aghast. Are you crazy, young Horst? They said. But he didn't back down. He found a way to do it, and he worked his way up from the lowest level of hotel staff in the fine hotels of Europe to come to America. And he co-founded the Ritz-Carlton. So what am I? Very favorite hotel is the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. So like young Horst, I had a dream of travel, but as a young girl, the answer was a resounding absolutely no. And as an adult, that changed. And now I've had a few trips under my belt. My daughter, Stephanie, and I took a very special trip about a decade ago. I thought it was a few years ago, but she reminded me she was in eighth grade, Mom. And as luck would have it, we were able to stay at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel for a week. And because the Ritz-Carlton had been long heralded as a beacon of excellence for customer service, I thought this was a research and a business travel expense, don't you think? A business travel trip. Well, in addition to just, we were looking forward to the amazing experiences this vacation would bring, but I also wanted to study and analyze what made the Ritz such a special place, and why did it have so many raving fans? Oh my goodness. Well, luckily for us, Mr. Schultz has also written a wonderful, wonderful book. Highly recommend this book. It's called Excellence Wins, A No-Nonsense Guide to Becoming the Best in the World of Compromise. I love that. That's so great. Here are three takeaways that I got from not only my experience being a customer at the Ritz-Carlton, but also from this great book. The first is, ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. That is the basic premise of which he built the hotel. And for me, it was obvious from the moment that we arrived that our needs were at the forefront of the hotel staff. The atmosphere was relaxed, but it was professional. Each staff member, they knew what their role was and interacted with each other with just ease and respect. So Mr. Schultz emphasized that all the team members are treated well, and they treat each other well, and in turn, their guests are treated well. I agree 100%. Number two, everyone wants to be cared for. These are such great lessons in customer acquisition and retention. Everyone wants to be loved. Everyone wants to be cared for. Mr. Schultz believes that everyone who comes to the hotel would deep down like to be cared for just like at home. When I was unfortunately had an encounter with a stingray on a local tour, not part of the hotel at all, resulting in a minor injury, the care that they showed to me was totally, just exceeded my expectations. The medical staff made sure they checked in with me multiple times over the rest of the stay to see if I was feeling okay. And one afternoon when I got back to our room, there was this sweet little stuffed animal. It was a stingray. And they do have a sense of humor, with a handwritten note just expressing the staff's sorrow for that the experience didn't go as planned, and wishes for a speedy recovery. And in Florida, if you're there, I will show you my scar to prove it. Number three, always anticipate the customer's needs and delight them when you can. So during this day, my daughter turned 13. That's why I know it was such a long time ago. And when we arrived back at our room on the day of her birthday, we were at the beach. There were balloons. The chef had made her a cake in the shape of a sandcastle, and there was a birthday card from the staff, and she's just so delighted and surprised at this unexpected treat. So in his book, Mr. Schultz really puts his money where his mouth is. He discusses how each and every staff member has a budget of $2,000 to spend to delight and thrill a guest. No permission required, because he trusts them. It's ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. So when one member of the staff in the Atlanta Ritz-Carlton realized that a guest had left his laptop in the room and he needed it for an important presentation, but he was in Hawaii and Federal Express at that time, the overnight service, wouldn't make it, she booked a flight to Hawaii and delivered the laptop herself and then came back to work the next day. How about that? Now, that's an example of going above and beyond. Well, there was another great example in the book, much less costly, that a member of the housekeeping staff noticed a guest hadn't eaten the nuts and the cookies that were in his room at night. So she asked the chef to prepare cookies without nuts for that evening. How do you think that made the guest feel special and cared for? These are just great and wonderful examples of a wildly great customer service. And when we consider the individual residual income streams of our customers and how much they contribute to our why. Now, we might not be flying to Hawaii, but there's certainly so many ways we can show that we are grateful for them being our customers. So, as I wrap up this morning's mojo, just to recap seven lessons we learned to inspire you. One, keep listening and asking questions. Two, keep a level head at all times. Three, be solution-oriented and exceed expectations. Four, own it if things go wrong. Number five, remember, we're ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. Six, know that everyone would like to be cared for and recognized. And number seven, always anticipate the customer's needs and look for ways to delight them. Well, I am so happy to have chosen this topic this morning because as I was preparing the mojo yesterday, and no lie, I got a text from one of my Flash customers out of the blue with the name of a referral. I am not kidding. So it really does work. So a reminder, there's a webinar tonight at 7 p.m. Please see the team texting service or www.teamrevolution.com for the details. And have a great day, everybody. Take care and see you next week.